Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have you all worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to our visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card found in the seat rack in front of you. You can place that in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. All are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. At this time, I'd also encourage you to sign the fellowship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. And then if you would, please pass back the direction it came from. Now I'd like to draw your attention to the announcements we have on the inside cover of our bulletin this morning. There are just a couple I'd like to highlight for you before turning it over to you. The first is I will be gone from the office the coming week on study leave down at Columbia, but I look forward to rejoining you all for our Monday morning activities, prayers and Bible study on Monday the 18th, and then again the following Sunday on February 24th. That Sunday, the last Sunday in February, will be our annual congregational meeting immediately following worship. We hope you'll plan to stay a few minutes later to hear the highlights of our annual report, talk about the ministries that we have accomplished in the past year and are looking forward to in the coming year. So we do hope you plan to stay a few minutes for that. Now I'd like to open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, sir. Thank you, Susan. We'll be sure to pray for Misha this morning as well. Yes, Sue. Thank you, Sue. A friend of our congregation, Roger Martin, having surgery soon. Yes, Jean. Thank you, Jean. We use the term snow day loosely around here. Yes. Yes, Jody. Thank you, Jody. You know, this keeps up in a couple of years. We might have to do something with that money on Super Bowl Sunday. Are there any others? Yes, Nell. Good. As you can see, there are many ways to connect, but of course, here we are gathered to worship God. So let us worship. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. Peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
please stand for the call to worship? From Psalm 138, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted your name
and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me.
You increased my strength of soul.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And let us pray. Holy God, we are here at your urging, ready to worship you with all our heart, mind, and strength. Prepare us to receive the riches of your Spirit. Through word and worship, let us hear of your grace. Ready to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world you love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Holy God, you speak and we listen. You call and we answer. You lead and we follow. Yet sometimes we hold back. We don't always listen. We don't always trust. Sometimes we protect ourselves from the uncertainty of the way and the call of the cross. Forgive us, Lord. Give us courage to follow new challenges, to risk, to venture, to journey. Open our hearts to love neighbors and strangers. Give us the compassion to be moved by the world's longing. Give us the imagination of hope as we follow Jesus into the world. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. Come on. How are you all? Good. It's kind of a cold and rainy day. Today, I'm thinking about a nice and warm day. And when it's nice outside, I think we all like to be outside, right? So I've got a question for you. It's about one of those outside times. Have any of you ever been fishing before? I know it. Yeah, I think I've seen you fish some before. Yeah, you've been in a swimming pool. It's a little bit different, but it's the right concept. Okay, for those of you who've been fishing, have you ever caught a fish?
Yeah.
No, you never caught a fish? No. Has any? Lib, I think you've caught a fish before, haven't you? Luke, have you caught a fish? No. All right.
But we do have our own fishing rods.
You have your own fishing rods? Okay, so I'll bet you'll get one soon, right? All right. So Libba, can you help us? What's the biggest fish you ever caught? How big was it?
This many.
Is it maybe this many? So I'm going to tell you a trick about fishing stories, and this is for when you catch your first fish, that you're always, and this is the only time I'm going to tell you this, you're always going to exaggerate how big the fish is, right? I'm not going to say the L word there, okay? But if you catch a fish this big, you can pretend like it's a little bit, it's this big, right? Maybe you know some people who fish and they kind of do that. They exaggerate how big the fish is. Well, in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about one time Jesus and Peter were together on the lake. Hey, can you help us tell the story about fishing? I want. All right, we're gonna use our hands to see how big the fish is in just a second. Peter was out on a lake and he was fishing, and Jesus told him to go out, and Peter said, "I don't want to go. I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything." I think that sounds pretty frustrating. Jesus said, "Why don't you try one more time?" And he went out to the deepest part of the lake. And he dropped his net. It's kind of like his fishing rod. What do you think he caught? He got not just one fish, he caught so many fish, he couldn't bring them all back into the boat. And when he started to bring them back into the boat started to stink. And so then another boat came and helped them, and they tried to bring in the fish too, and there were so many fish, that boat started to sink too. And eventually they were able to make it back to the shore and bring in all the fish. They had no idea what to do with them, because no matter how many times they'd ever been fishing, they'd never caught this much before. So that's one of the first ways that Jesus appears to Peter in the Gospel of Luke. Do you remember Peter? He's one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' helpers. And that's kind of what the story shows us, is that when Jesus calls us, when Jesus asks us to do things, often we don't expect what's going to happen. We don't even understand how much God wants to give us, how much Jesus wants to help us. It's kind of like when we go fishing and we catch something, we realize what we bring in is going to be so much better. That's what it's like to follow Jesus. So I hope you'll remember that. Maybe upstairs you think about fishing, or you think about all the good things that God has given us. There's always more that God wants to give. So thank you for your help in telling the story. Will you have a prayer with me before we go? Can you put your hands together and close your eyes? You can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for all you've given us and all you will give us. Help us to receive and to share in the way Jesus asks. We pray in his name. Amen. We stay still for just a second while we say goodbye. So we dismiss our children to their time together in worship. Let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted away." blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Still in the early portions of Luke, Jesus has just begun his ministry of teaching and preaching and healing. Now he begins to gather disciples. That's where we find him and what we find him doing. The lake next to the Sea of Galilee. So he begins to call people like Peter and gives them much more than they could have expected. From the Gospel of Luke, listen for God's word to you. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night and caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, let your Spirit come among us as we hear your word, that we would drop everything that keeps us from you and find our lives instead in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. C.S. Lewis once wondered if Christianity was hard or easy. And depending on the day, you may pick one or the other. I think sometimes it feels harder on a rainy and cold day. So think about it, hard or easy. Jesus promises that following him means carrying a cross, carrying a burden so heavy and so difficult it demands everything that you have. In the exact same gospel, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So is following Jesus rest? Is it work? Is it a little bit of both? The complication comes in the relationship between these two aspects in your life, because sometimes faith is really easy and sometimes it's incredibly demanding. And one of the challenges of puzzling through all this is that the easy things don't always appear to be so, and neither do the hard ones. That sounds a little abstract, so let me tell you what I'm talking about. I think this is the exact dynamic in play in this story of Peter and the catch of fish. So Jesus has begun his ministry in Galilee. He's been preaching and healing, and all of a sudden there's this gravitational force that has pulled people into Jesus' orbit. So the next step that Jesus has is he's going to collect some close followers who are going to help with his ministry, the disciples. The first person Jesus calls is Peter. In the story, he's named both Simon and Simon Peter. So for confusion's sake, let's call him Peter. There's no clear reason why Jesus chose Peter. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus cures Peter's mother-in-law. People have wondered, why did this endear Jesus to Peter? Thank you. But now the crowd is pressing in on Jesus all the way to the shore of the lake, and Jesus sees a familiar face in a boat. It's Peter. And he's finishing up a night of disappointing work. He's been fishing, and he's returning with empty nets. So Jesus climbs into his boat and uses it as a pulpit. And maybe this is the way life of faith begins. You're simply going about your business, and all of a sudden you realize that God is in the boat next to you preaching. So following the sermon, Jesus turns to Peter, and he tells him to launch the boat and go out into the deep water. And that's step two. Once God is in your boat, you don't have much of a say as to where your boat is going to go. In fact, what happens is that God will ask you to do a very hard thing, and then you will have no idea what happens next. And maybe this is what Luke is trying to tell us. The way of faith, the beginning of faith, is like launching your boat out into deep water. You have no idea what's going to happen. The way of faith is hard. The way of faith is carrying a cross. The hard work of discipleship is about to begin. So Peter protests a little. "Lord, we have been working all night and we haven't caught anything. If you say so, we'll give it a try." And Peter's already caught onto this. Faith is supposed to be hard. There's minimal chance of success. He's already been working all night, which means that maybe if we think about our story with Peter's, we understand that God is going to ask us to do hard and desperate and maybe even hopeless things. And for Peter, this was going out into the deep water and going back to fish, even though he'd been trying all night. And that's only the start. It could be anything that God asks you to do. Scripture and tradition are full of this kind of story, these call stories. God asks someone to do something, and at the outset, it seems impossibly hard. Someone senses that God is calling them to do something, and they redirect their lives despite the challenge of it. But maybe this sort of thing has happened to you. A challenge, an obstacle, something difficult appeared in your life. Was right in front of you, but you just knew that God was asking you to tackle it. This is a familiar story of life with God. And you could pick any number of examples with it of calling, including a hard thing. One I was reading about this week was from Ignatius of Loyola, the 16th century Catholic reformer, who, among other things, started the Jesuit order. And early in his life, Ignatius was a soldier. And after receiving some wounds in his legs, he spent months in bed convalescing, reading the Bible, reading stories about the lives of saints. And he came across this great realization, which was that the lives of people who followed Jesus were inevitably incredibly difficult. And so Ignatius thought about this as he underwent things like primitive surgeries on his legs. And he showed some of that resolve that would appear later in his life as he wrote in his autobiography, that during these unpleasant times, these cross-bearing times, he didn't cry out or ask for relief because that's not what the saints did, but he admitted to clenching his fists a little. So following his recovery, Ignatius began a life of ministry, of fasting, of giving to the poor and living on the margins of society. He knew that God had called him to live in this new and challenging way because that's what the lives of God's people looked like. He knew that from the outset of this life, it was going to be hard. And so he decided to follow Jesus by doing the hardest things he could think of. Maybe he was right. We heard even last week in the call of Jeremiah how God, at the outset of Jeremiah's life, asked him to do something impossible. That's what life with God looks like. And even if this has not been our personal experience, we know enough of God to be a little bit serious about it and do sober things like worship in a Presbyterian church. This is what it means to follow Jesus. So Peter puts out into deep water. He does the hard thing because he knows that's what happens to the people God uses. He does what Jesus asks. He lets down his nets one more time after a night of disappointments. And that's when the unexpected thing happens. A catch. An enormous, monumental catch. It's the ultimate fishing story. Peter does everything that he can to bring it in. The nets are about to break. He calls to his friends in the other boat. They try to help. The boats are sinking because of the weight of all these fish. They just get it to shore, and their fishing has been a success beyond their wildest aspirations. And so when Peter gets to shore, he does the one thing he could possibly think of doing. He goes and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Jesus, get away from me, for I am sinful." Faith is supposed to be hard. He's not supposed to be this successful. He has already been out fishing all night. But Peter doesn't know what to do with all that God has given him. Going out into the deep water, that's something we can wrap our minds around. That's the challenge. That's the hard way of discipleship. That's what Peter expected. That's what we expect. But it's when he actually received the gift of God, beyond his wildest dreams, that he was really challenged. Because maybe that's the real hard part of faith, when all of a sudden it becomes easy. Sometimes we don't know what to do with all the grace God wants to give us. How often are we caught by our low expectations? Religion is supposed to be hard, it's serious. It's care for the orphan and the widow, the vulnerable. It's about fighting injustice and asking hard questions. It's about doing the right thing no matter the cost. It's serious business. Just think how long it took you to get my joke about mother-in-law. You're not supposed to laugh in a sermon. Friedrich Nietzsche once said that the best argument against Christianity was that Christians lack joy. And if we're honest and we think about the things we do here, maybe sometimes that's true. So where does that joy come from? Is it from the difficulty of life? The expectation of challenge? Is it from our lowered expectations of what God wants to do with us, that if we just go to church and pray and give and work for others, maybe we can work our lives into some kind of shape that God will approve of? Maybe that's what we think. And maybe that's why it's hard to find the joy sometimes. Maybe God asks us to do things like come to church and pray and give and serve, so that our lives will be so full of love and compassion that we won't know how to reel it all in. And it makes me wonder, for myself most of all, what do we pray for? Do we pray for ourselves or for others, asking God that if it's not too much trouble, God might remember our friend or us, if it's convenient, of course? Do we really expect to get what God wants or what we ask for? Maybe our prayers are like fishing in deep water, and all of a sudden we might pull up a catch we're not ready for. And when we think about our church, is it a place of comfort and welcome and community in the midst of an impersonal and cold world? Is it a place of reflection and thoughtfulness in the midst of anger and quick judgment? Is it a place of nurture and compassion instead of one of ambition and competition? It is those things, but are we even willing to think of it as something more, as something no less than the kingdom of God breaking into the ordinary course of this world? Because that's what God wants for us. Maybe that's the real challenge of faith, is delighting in what God wants to give us, because it's so unexpected, so abundant, that it changes everything. That's why we're meant to be joyful. Prayer from the Church of Scotland goes, "Dear Lord, I have had enough of sad saints and sour religion. I've had enough of sin spotting and grace doubting. I need some laughter, Lord, the kind you planted in Sarah. But please, may I not have to wait until I'm 90 and pregnant." It's that kind of life. Peter says to Jesus, "I am sinful." And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And maybe he was saying, "I know you're sinful. I called you, but I caught you anyway. That doesn't matter. Are you ready for what I am about to give you?" In asking that question, whether Christianity is easy or hard, C.S. Lewis imagines that Jesus would say, "Give me all. I don't want so much as your time or your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and there. I want to have the whole tree cut down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or to stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours." It's easy to think the challenge of faith is something like constant attention to our problems, in which we clench our fists a little, thinking that maybe God will be troubled enough to help us, and that through our seriousness and our dedication, we're doing what we need to do. Peter asks, "Have you considered what will happen when your nets are full?" That once you launch into the challenge, the hard thing might be receiving all the grace God wants to give you. It's easy to expect little of anything, prayer, church, life of faith. What happens when it works? What happens when it works beyond your imagination? Are you ready for the success of it? When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. There wasn't a question anymore. They were going to follow him. They hadn't just given up their burdens, but they had given up their greatest success, a week's worth of work lying in the sun. And maybe they knew that this pile of fish on the shore would help others, that God's abundance would come and feed other people who came along, so they didn't need to preserve their miraculous catch from spoiling. It was for the crowd. Maybe they knew that they were preparing to receive much more. And now they had the open arms to receive it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. To the God who gives more than we could ask for or imagine, let us return our tithes and offerings. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, on this day of worship, we rest in your presence. We're here to meet you in the joy of giving, in the quiet of prayer, hoping that you would silence the noisy parts of our lives and bring us closer to you. Here is the place where we offer ourselves to you. The burdens we carry, we lay at your feet. The gifts that we bring, we offer as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The life that we imagine for ourselves, we return to you, trusting that in your hands, you always have more grace to give us. So hear us as we pray, Lord. Hear us as we return ourselves to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we're grateful for the gift of this place, for this community formed by your love, and for the many ways we know you here. We're grateful for the care of neighbors and friends who give needed help, for the gift of music which lifts our souls to you, for the patience of volunteers and teachers who lead children and go to meetings and do the small and careful work of following you in daily life. We thank you for those who model faith for us and who have walked ahead in the way, leaving footsteps for us to follow. Encourage us by your Spirit in the ways we need to receive healing and peace, to grow and to change and to follow you here. Lord, in your mercy. God, we pray for those who cannot be with us today, whether through illness or grief or distance or life circumstance. We pray for those who are sick, for Bob Lewis, Sandover, Sally Wester, Greg George, for Misha Little, Roger Martin. We ask the special gift of your healing for them. They would be renewed in your love and receive the fullness of your grace through Jesus Christ. We remember others close to us who have needs too, that often silent burden carried alone. So we remember them in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. As we gather in your presence, Lord, in the peace of this place, we recognize that there is great need outside the knowledge of our experience, but quite close to us here. We remember those people in our community who do not have a warm place to be, or who lack shelter or food, or who have come from far away and have no people to receive them. For the vulnerable among us, Lord, we ask your special blessing that you would help them. Teach us how to feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, to offer hope and peace, all that you have given us, Lord, to others. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray in hope, trusting that Christ prays in your own presence, one with you, just as he is one with us in his Spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom in the power, in the glory forever. Amen. Go out into the world in the challenge of faith with open arms, knowing that God always has more to give to you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.